The meeting will please come to order. This is a special meeting of the Planning Commission. Today is Thursday, January 29th, 2015, and the time is about 7:01. We're in the section of public comment. There's no public comment, so we will close that section. Then we'll go into our scheduled items. Number three, review and recommendation on the preliminary plans for the Lakeviews and Trails subdivision. Chandler, you're on.
All right. So thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate it. And I'm sure Dan appreciates it as well. So he's worried about we're going to have a quorum, and I think we got everybody here tonight. So awesome. So we're still talking about the Lakeviews Trails subdivision, and I'm actually pleased with what's developed in the last week. I think we've had a lot of resolution to a lot of concerns on the city's end. On Monday, we met with Dan and Mike and a representative from Mustang Engineering. His name is Mark, to go over some of their concerns that they had engineering-wise. And a lot of those were resolved. Dan and Mike took a lot of notes, and many of them were percentage grades of sewer laterals or road questions that they had. I'll go over some of the concerns that they had that maybe this body...
Before you get started, recognize Jeff Dodge as a voting member tonight.
Oh, yeah, David Driggs isn't here. Thank you. Okay. All right. So one of the major concerns that they had, and I know we talked about this last Thursday, was the scope of the geotech study. The Mustang Engineering was concerned with one line that's in the study. It's in the executive summary. It's the third paragraph, last sentence. The last sentence there ends with, it says, based on our observations of this subdivision and the referenced geologic map, the potential of a mass movement appears to pose a risk to the property and the proposed development. But it goes on to say, based on the results of our field exploration, laboratory testing, and engineering analysis, it is our opinion that the subject site is suitable for the proposed development, provided the recommendations presented herein are followed and implemented during design and construction. So if you go through, I don't know how many of you had time to digest it, but if you go through the geotech report, it lists where sites have to be graded more than X amount of feet. A certain action should be taken, such as if it needs to be graded more than 25 feet off the surface, there should be an additional geotech study, or even go so far as to have EarthTech on site to review the grading at the time. So that's something to consider. The Mustang Engineering also said they were concerned with the language that EarthTech used, and they closed their concern with, they said, they discussed this issue with another individual who specializes in geotech studies, and they would like to see the city and the developer do an independent review from a third party. They don't specialize in geology or earth movement of this sort, so they would like to see somebody do an additional geological report. And I spoke with David Bunker. He's going to try to be here tonight. Yes.
An additional geologic report or
a review of the current report. I'm sorry. Those are two different things. So a review.
Mustang doesn't do
that. That's not their specialty. So they said that they would feel more comfortable with their review if it was reviewed by a third party, and I think that the city agrees with that. I spoke with David Bunker. He's going to try to be here tonight. He's coming from another meeting. But he would also like to see that happen, just for liability's sake, to make sure that we cover all of our bases up there on the hillside. It's a tricky spot to develop, and we'd like to make sure that what we're proposing is going to be a safe development. Some things that... So we've met with the developer, and we've met with engineering, and we've resolved a lot of the concerns that we've had, and those will be shown on the next plat that's submitted to the city council. So that won't go to the city council until all of our concerns are reviewed and corrected from the engineering report. Correct. Some of the things that we still need, and this is just for final, we need to show a conveyance of water rights. Geotech review, like I just spoke of. We talked about lot 23 and 24 in the cul-de-sac on Bay Hill, and this isn't news to you. We talked about showing their buildable area as being away from the power lines that are overhead there, because those power lines are not going to be moved. They're the big kind of
300,000 volts.
Yeah, more than that. They're big. They're not going to move, but showing the buildable area outside of those power line easements, and there's plenty of space there, so I don't think that'll be an issue. One question I had for Dan was, and I couldn't remember, please help my memory, is Hunter's Court going to be private or public?
Public.
It is going to be public. So the city would like to see curb gutter through Hunter's Court and on Canyon Road, and the Canyon Road one would have all along Canyon Road, and that would have to be done according to county specs, not city specs, because that is a county road. One other thing was the extension of public utilities to the property limits, that sewer, taking sewer up to the northern limit on Canyon Road, and then I think it's PI and water to the southern limit on to feed to David Blake's property later.
David Bunker talked to Mike about that, and there were some changes on how that was going to be done. I guess the northern part would just be a lateral, it won't be a full sewer.
Okay. Just to provide access to utilities for future development on the southern property.
Right.
And so, okay.
Will there be any pumps on that, Dan? On the sewer line? Pumps?
Pumps.
It's all gravity.
Well, you mean as far as lots?
Lots to the line.
They have to have a system, I can't remember what it's called, the basement.
It's an ejector pump system from the basement that shoots it up to gravity level, and then from the property on it, it's gravity fed. In fact, our city building is on an ejector pump right now. So when this project goes through, we'll actually connect to the sewer, so that'll be good for us. So say it again.
The cleans the pumps.
The property owner owns the
plumber. Not me.
you done enough of that?
No, I've never done any of it. So and then. The plans were showing the sewer cleanouts in the streets. Those can't be in the streets. Those need to be on the public. On the private land. So those were the other concerns. And Mustang Engineering is continuing their review. I'm sure that there will be some other things as it comes along. But that's at this point. That's where we are right now. One other thing to bring this body up to speed on is David Bunker and I met with David Blake, who is the owner of the property to the south, and he was just to get his opinion, his take on this development and how it affected his future desires, I guess, to develop his property there. And he was okay with cul-de-sacking Bay Hill. David Bunker met with Mustang Engineering, and this was a concern of David Bunker's, was how to, and we brought this up last time, is what happens when either Morgan or Bay Hill needs to be shut down, and then you only have one form of egress. Well, we looked at the plans, and as you know, Morgan and Bay Hill are both very wide roads, so if there's a water leak, and let's say Bay Hill needed to be shut down, one lane of it could be shut down and used only for egress, only to get out of the subdivision, not to go in. So in the case of an emergency, there still would be two points of egress there, as well as we took Craig's idea and basically applied it to the future Bay Hill Park there, which the idea was to put a trail in between two of the lots on Bay Hill leading down to the Metro Water Trail that would be wide enough in the case of an emergency to get out of. So we would move that trail or move that access or make sure that the access on Bay Hill Trail would be wide enough to use it. This would be in the event of a big emergency, not just a water break, to exit onto the trail there.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Yes.
So often when you're doing city planning, one reason for extending Bay Hill would be to provide safety and multiple outlets, but another reason might be that we would connect neighborhoods. And so what I didn't know is whether the city general plan called for Bay Hill to be extended all the way out to Box Elder.
There was a desire to extend it to Canyon Road, not to Box Elder.
Okay.
The plan now, and after talking with Dan and Mike, the developers on this project, and David Blake, who's the owner to the south, there's just not enough offsetting revenue due to the slopes along from basically where their cul-de-sac is being proposed to end right now to the property line. There's not enough revenue there to build the road, meaning that the road would cost, I think David Blake was using $1 million. And I don't know, it's a lot of money, and there's no homes along there. So it's just not feasible financially for anyone to put the road in. So eventually, when we drove up the trails yesterday with David Blake and David Bunker and myself looking at the plans, and there's other ways to connect north-south, whether it's on Morgan is planned to still go through, and that's actually a little bit easier just due to there's a kind of a bench up there. So there's still that option in the future, and that would actually connect over to Heisel's Hollow, which is a little bit above Box Elder. Mm-hmm. And that was just conceptual plan. There's not a hard, fast place of where the roads are going to go there. That really depends on what the developer comes and proposes. But
okay.
Yeah.
And then to the south, immediately to the south, is that a different owner, or is there a part of this property that is going to remain open space?
That's a good question. Do you have a...
Yeah, that I'm looking at the map here.
So you see the map, and this is... I'm glad you brought this up, because this is one of the other things that we spoke with the engineer. The project will need to show 20 acres. The developers are aware of that. And we've asked that the slope analysis only include the property in question, not outside their own development. But this white space right here, this is where the cul-de-sac will be, and this white space would be just dedicated open space.
Is there a plan to, one of the things our residents like to do is they like to use that open space to get up into the hills. So is there a plan to put maybe a mountain biking trail or a hiking trail,
not a paved trail. I don't think on this piece. This piece is extremely steep. I don't think that people access it from here. There still will be access at the end of this cul-de-sac. There's going to be a temporary cul-de-sac on Lakeview. So there will be a temporary access at that point to go get up into the hills. And there will also be the trail, the Metro Water Easement Trail, going through there as well. So there will still be some trail access.
We're building an access off of Lakeview.
Yeah, that I saw. Yeah, and that's great. I was so happy that I didn't have to come and fight for that you put that in there.
We would encourage David Blake to do the same, so there'll be two trailheads off of Lakeview.
That's wonderful.
So,
I did have another question, I think mainly for Chandler, but potentially for the whole commission. I think looking at this project, my main concern is having Hunter's Court come off of Canyon Road. It builds a little isolated community. And it makes two more exits onto Canyon Road, which is the busiest road we've got in our city. Mm-hmm. You've got cars coming down there at 50, 55 miles per hour. Is there any possibility for the developer to arrange it so that Hunter's Court feeds off of Lakeview instead of feeding off of Canyon Road? I assume that you looked at that and found it infeasible.
Yes, multiple configurations, and because of it. Have to be a public road due to the amount of lots. It just really isn't practical because it eats up all those lots. It has to be right of way so wide. You essentially have a road with no lot, very few lots.
So you'd sacrifice one or two lots to make that happen, in other words?
Well, that, and you would also, because of the topography, that road coming off of Lakeview would have to go up. So the houses off of Hunter's Court, if they had to go to get out, they'd have to go up and then down instead of just 20 feet out the Canyon Road.
Okay.
It's not ideal.
So
there are plenty of precedents for this city already.
But there is also a trail connecting Hunter's Court to Lakeview Drive?
The sidewalk.
The
sidewalk from there.
So they can meet with their neighbors and not have to go out and around.
You can ride the bikes on the sidewalk to go to the trail.
Great.
In the plans is... what you've seen right now, it's showing Hunter's Court as being a private drive with no sidewalk, and that's what I was just asking him. Hunter's Court's going to be public, so there will be a sidewalk throughout the cul-de-sac, and then on to Canyon Road, all along Canyon Road, and then up Lakeview Drive, so there will be a walkability aspect to get from Hunter's Court up to Lakeview Drive without having to cross any streets.
Yeah, that's great, because we made a mistake with some of the other cul-de-sacs off of Canyon Road, which are private, and now they wish they had been public, because they don't get snow plows, and it's a...
And one other thing to that point is between from center line of Hunter's Court to the next road, there is 150 feet. So that does met what at that time it was when that was being evaluated. That was a UDOT road, and that met their requirements. So there's okay. a good site distance there. And Canyon Road being what it is on this end, not the south end of town, it's a wide open road with a turning lane, so it's less dangerous than half mile to the south.
Yeah. Do we know whether residents there will be going to the Bay Hill Chapel if they're LDS or across the street to the Stake Center?
That is a good question that I have no idea the answer to. I don't know
if they're going across the street. We may need to be paying attention to crosswalks and crossing lights, and maybe time to think about how we start crossing Canyon Road.
That's a good point. I'll make note of that.
The county has requirements on distance between outlets.
Yeah.
Are they the same as the city? That's a side question. The big question is, are they adequate distance between the roadways?
For that, following the city requirement on this, according to the engineers.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have to punch it up.
150 feet from Ironwood on each side, so our roads are meeting the city requirements. They would have met UDOT with the variance. I don't believe the county even has it in coded. I'm not sure the county has it, but we're following city rules about 150 foot gap.
What about left hand turns into that from traffic going south on
center, there's a center turn lane in there.
So there's a center turn lane.
There's the median there,
so there is a place for them to turn off, not block traffic, and turn in.
Super.
And on there's a wide enough shoulder that they can pull out.
You don't have that in where we.
You don't have that down there, no. So that's why I say the storyline.
Thursday night thrill.
So that's why I say that the situation on this end of Canyon Road is much different than a half mile down the road where Avenue Acres is. So.
Yeah. Super. We have an example of how it ought not to be designed. We just don't want that to happen.
Are there any other questions I can answer?
Did a good job.
Put a sharp light, Chandler.
Thank you.
My main concern primarily is I live in an area which is sinking into the sunset because the builder paired off tops of roads and mountains and that filled and theoretically compacted it. And it really did. And the last house we did, HOA got charged $400,000 for it. And I don't want that to happen for any builder or any owner on that property up there. So I'm all for a third party taking a look at the geotech information and their opinion to see whether you're meeting the criteria that is necessary to build a house up there without having to spend $100,000 on period or something like that.
But
let me address that issue just a little bit because I built a few homes back 15 years ago.
Mike, do you want to see your take on Mike?
Because my former company built several homes on in Cedar Hills East, where there's been some issues. Not the townhomes or anything like that, but we did have a few homes that actually we had to come back in and jack them up and fair amount of expense. And so back in those days, you could just go dig a hole, and it was acceptable, and put a foundation in.
Does Cedar Hills require observation on a dig in the city now?
So they didn't used to. So, but as a matter of just general good building practice, for the last 10 years, I haven't dug a home without bringing a geotech out and actually observing the dig, so that before there's any footings ever placed, we have a geotechnical guy look at it, so he understands whatever the soil is. So, I mean, I know that's probably one of the big reasons. So the early ones that ours failed on, when it was AmeriCraft Homes, it was because the geotech didn't look at it. You know, the excavator dug it, footing guy put its footings in, and he probably could have seen things, who knows what, but I'm just saying from a builder standpoint, we're much more vigilant about that than we were 10 years ago. And I know
it's going to be a requirement of all of the builders up there.
It is. David just told me that the city of Cedar Hills does require that. I mean, I don't Most cities do now require it, and you know, as a builder myself, I don't do it without hiring geotechnical to come out and do it. So that's kind of how the things have changed over the.
So can I ask David and Chandler a question on that then?
Yeah.
Is there a process in place for this? I trust Mike. I know he's going to get geotech out there. But is there a process in place for any other builder to make sure that we're actually holding them to that promise?
And to the on-site foundation or the digging?
Yeah, to make sure that all these recommendations in the report are actually followed.
Jeff Mogg, our building official.
There's got to be someone on the city who makes
sure
that
happens.
Jeff
Mogg, our building official, actually is the observer in this case. And if he sees anything that needs attention, he stops the dig and we call geotech specialist out.
I just remembered, it's been like 6 months, but I built a house on Mesquite. And I think at the time we actually presented Jeff, the city, with a written letter from the geotechnical company.
Oh, good.
Before
certifying that, we made sure everything was followed.
I'm pretty sure that's what Jeff Mogg required. So now that I remember, I've got houses all over, but that's what I remember with being here.
If I recall correctly, in the geotech report, there was some special conditions on two of the lots,
21 and 22. It's on the west. Is it on the west side of Bay Hill? Okay. Okay. Oh yeah, the numbers shifted from then. Yeah. Come on up.
One could interpret what they said in the report as requiring piers.
Yes. In fact, two of the lots, probably three, will require piers. But piers are a lot easier to put in before you build the house on the foundation than after. I've taken Craig up to this land several times. I've had two or three different other geologists look at it. We've had this geotech report, and we were nervous. I was nervous when buying this land to make sure that, you know, this wasn't something that was going to get in the 6 o'clock news at some point, as the city, you know, has to be concerned about. And we were very pleased with the geotech report. And Craig actually told me this before I even got it, that anything east of the aqueduct was most likely going to be pretty solid, or west of the aqueduct, because it was the alluvial dirt, the alluvial gravel and whatnot that came out of the mouth of the canyon. And sure enough, the geotech, if you read it, if you read between the lines, is basically saying that's really solid stuff. And that's where I built my home, on that same dirt, and that's probably where I'll build my home on this development as well. I sold my home to do this development, and I'm going to build another home and probably live on it in this development. So I'm concerned about making sure everything doesn't settle and come back to haunt me or us anyway. So the geotech on the west side of the aqueduct, which is 90% of this development, came back with a real, you know, high grades from the geotech. Good soil, good stuff. Now on Bay Hill, it's going to be a little trickier. There's two or three lots in there that does have collapsible soil, and we're going to, you know, disclose to cover our butts to those people. If you buy this lot, you probably are going to want piers. The house that's at the end of Bay Hill right now had to put in piers after the fact, and it cost them $100,000. If you put them in before you build, it's a fraction of that. So, yes, three of those lots probably will need piers. The two lots on the hill on the east side of Bay Hill, the two kind of tricky lots, turned out those were the ones we thought, okay, that could be what's called Manning Canyon Shale, and I'm not going to let Craig describe what that means, but it turned out it wasn't. Manning Canyon Shale is the stuff that put the city in 6 o'clock news before. It's the stuff behind the town homes, and that's oily, slippery stuff, and we were crossing our fingers that it wasn't that, and it's not. It's like concrete, you know, and so we're very relieved about lots 21 and 22 being made out of really more good stuff. Not quite as good as the stuff on the east side or the west side of the aqueduct, but to the compaction point, obviously we have to follow all the, you know, the regs, and we want to follow all the regs to get the compaction and the places where we need to put in fill for the roads. There shouldn't be any houses on fill, but there will be a couple of bridges where the road will be on some fill. It has to be compacted and super compacted, and we'll, you know, like Mike's saying, he doesn't want to build anything that's going to come back to haunt him, and neither do I.
Are you recommending piers, or are you going to require piers?
Well, the geotech will probably require it.
Well, but this goes back to this discussion we had when we were talking about the H1. This is the city council, this is years ago, was talking about requiring piers in the H1. Well,
piers may not be the best technology.
At the time, you're right.
Well, no, it may not be. I mean, spread. There's lots of different ways to deal with soils, and I think by saying you're going to use piers, if the piers fail, well, you if so, what well, we what the H1 requires, if you look at it, a geotechnical report, engineering geology report, grading and drainage plan, and natural condition analysis for each lot. Each lot has to provide that. So the geotech, it's up to the geotech to provide a foundation recommendation. And I think we leave it there because they're the ones that are qualified to do it. And they're the ones stamping. They're stamping the plan saying this is the way to do it. And, you know, there's a different way. There's not one technology for dealing with these. There are several different ways to do it. So I think we just, I mean, if you look at the H1 in 10D11B, the technical reports for the hillside zone are all these things we're talking about are required. So for each lot, and this is for each lot, not for the development.
So, I mean, we think we have it covered, but Mother Nature sometimes throws you a curve, but we're going to do everything we can.
And my concern with this was drainage, because if you have a fire, if we have a fire, well, when we have a fire on the hill above town, things are going to be ugly, and there's just no ways about that, because then you get what Alpine had a couple of years ago, and this development is actually a little better off because the lots are actually on a ridge instead of, it's just the lots to the north of them I'd be worried about, but these particular lots sit up above the drainage, so I don't know if they look, I'm sure Mustang looked at the drainage there, but that's
that was one of the requirements that we spoke with Mustang and
some of the existing houses I don't know about, but
making sure that the site contained not only the drainage that falls on the site, but the drainage that comes onto the site as well. So that will be addressed in the stormwater plan for final. Any other questions?
There are no other questions. I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the City Council.
Where did I put my? Come over here. I'll give it a try here if we can. I move we recommend approval of preliminary plan for Lakeview Trail subdivision located approximately 10100 Canyon Road in the H1 Hillside Zone. Contingent on the completion of the review of the engineering by Mustang and. Yeah. What was the other things? Oh, you got a list. But this is for final, right? Not preliminary. Oh, okay. Okay. Completion by Mustang Engineer of the review of the geotechnical report, showing buildable area of lots 23 and 24 outside of Rocky Mountain Power easements. Showing the sidewalk and curb and gutter on Hunter's Court. Showing sidewalk curb gutter on Canyon Road to county specs. An extension of public utilities to project and property limits. And removing the sewer cleanouts from the streets.
Is there anything else you wanted to add to that? Okay, thank you.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion made by Craig.
Further comments or questions?
Sorry.
Not, let's vote. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Passes. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Approved. Thank you all for coming.
So how do you get rid of your low blood pressure?